Disclosure have built a steady buzz in dance music circles, and now with their stateside album debut, the record Settle, and a strong showing recently at Coachella, Disclosure are poised for the big time in the USA. Joining us live in studio, Guy and Howard Lawrence. Hello, fellas.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good.
I understand you've been busy of late.
Yes. Yeah, pretty busy. A lot of sleep deprivation, but it's cool. Hanging in there.
Yeah, and so it goes. Well, you know, it's interesting because the standard hallmarks of this genre of dance music are singles, a certain anonymity, instrumentals primarily, and then a show which is kind of clunky, you know, maybe a DJ or something like that, sort of lacking.
Yeah.
And you guys have seemed to go straight to a whole other level, you know, very early in your career, it seems. You're serving up an album, you have a live show which includes instruments, and your album features songs and guest singers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, you know, how did you grow up so fast?
To do with how we grew up. You know, we grew up playing instruments and listening to bands and listening to songs. You know, we didn't grow up listening to instrumental dubs
tracks.
Yeah, like, you know, all the, like, you know, just, we didn't grow up like DJing or anything like that, because, you know, a lot of people get into producing dance music through DJing, but we had our first two singles out before we even knew how to DJ. So it's been just a weird order of events for us, because we grew up listening to songs and bands and things like that. And yeah, I think that's probably why it is. But I mean, it's also just down to our management as well. You know, we had a really clear idea together that we wanted to do something, you know, just more than just be DJs. And when we got into, you know, working with singers and stuff, we realized that we were writing songs, you know, not just with like build ups and drops, and it was verses and choruses and hooks. So, you know, when that started happening, I think we realized that we could become more than just like a singles act and releasing EPs. We could do an album, because, you know, a whole album of house music usually would be a little bit maybe boring and a bit relentless, you know, just an hour of 4/4 kick would be a bit like But with us, you know, because we've got like 5-6 different singers on the album, you know, even though it is quite a lot of house, every time that, you know, that new voice comes in, your ears are just refreshed, and you can just, you know, I think when people listen to it, they just, it flows like quite, you know, you don't get bored, and it's not very static.
Well, it also automatically puts you in a whole different category, you know, a category with, you know, Basement Jacks or Groovemada, or, you know, some of these lasting artists that have come out of the genre. Also, interestingly, stylistically, it's more of a classic house influenced sound, and really a sound that has its roots, I'm guessing, before you guys were even born.
Yeah, man, from in the USA, for sure, in Chicago and Detroit. Yeah, definitely, 100%.
And it's cool because there's a swing to that in music today. It feels like there's a movement with Ten Snake and Maceoplex and Azarian 3. And so, you know, that's kind of the backdrop for what you're doing. It feels like it's very much in vogue now to have a more of a classic house sound.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just like an inevitable thing to happen because it went away for so long and it's come back, but for us it's happened not because it's just, you know, becoming cool or everyone else is doing it. It's just because we got into dance music in like 2008 and 2009, and we just basically were trying to copy everything that was happening in the UK at that exact time. So all our productions sounded very much like James Blake, Mount Kimby, just things that were happening right then. But then, like, over time, we just thought, you know, started wanting to know where they got their influences from, why they sound the way they sound. And that just inevitably leads you back to Chicago, Detroit, house, techno, and UK garage as well from the 90s. And that's just basically all we listen to now. And when we were making the album, you know, we were just buying hundreds of records of that that kind of vibe. So I think that's what shaped the sound.
It's interesting also that your sound is at times slower. The tempos are slower, which is kind of a bold decision. I think it would be a lot easier to just bang out 128 or bang out 124. But you'll move down to 117 BPM. And I don't mean to get too esoteric for our listeners, but there aren't a whole lot of records like that, you know, so it stands apart.
I think it probably comes back to the whole song structure writing process. Because, I mean, if you're doing a whole, like, build up into a drop, like, the ideal tempo for that is probably somewhere around 130 BPM, just because people can dance to that tempo in the right way. But when you're just writing a song that has a chorus, it can be at any speed. we've written songs at 90 BPM and stuff. Like, I mean, it's got a little to do with it, the tempo. It's just generally for this album, we've produced stuff at the speed of garage and house music. Yeah.
You know, once in a while in the scene, a track or a song comes along and it just feels like it opens a door and everyone wants to go through that door, you know, it's like, that's the way, let's do that. And for me last year, that was Latch. It was so kind of sophisticated as a song. It has a grittiness to it that feels like it's informed by dubstep, or you use the term UK garage, which not everybody over here knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's like sort of two-step.
Two-step-y thing. But tell us about recording that. Did that come early for you in your work together?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a long process in a way, because we wrote the instrumental over a year ago, and it originally had samples on it from like an a cappella that we just sampled. And then we had this session booked in with Sam Smith, who was just a friend of a friend at the time. And we were just playing him stuff that we thought maybe he'd want to like write to. Like, we always write with the vocalists. And he heard that and he was like, right, I need you to take the samples off of it. So like we kind of just deleted the samples and we just wrote over that track. So I mean, the track was finished with the samples for ages, like months and months before that. And then as soon as we took them off, we finished writing Latch in, I don't know, just a couple of days over the space of 2 weeks or something like that.
Who else do you feature on this album besides Sam, who I wasn't familiar with beforehand? Is he well known?
No, at all. I mean, well,
that was like the first thing he stepped out with. Yeah, but he's actually number one in the UK this week. So,
nice going.
Not with Latch, but with another guy called Naughty Boy. But yeah, so he's doing really well. But yeah, also on the album we've got another newcomer called Sasha Keeble, who again is basically like where Sam was like last year, just about to step out with her own stuff. But then there's some more accomplished people on there as well, like Jesse Ware.
Yeah.
We've got Jamie Woon and Ed McFarlane from Friendly Fires.
Aluna George.
Aluna George, obviously, yeah. And another new band as well called London Grammar, who are on the last track, just the girl Hannah, who sings on it.
Sure.
Who's, amazing, kind of like Bjork-y type vibes, like kind of haunting sound, yeah.
And then Eliza Doolittle.
So a really wide variety of styles and singers and genders and everything, yeah.
Do you think you'll always feature vocalists, or will you ever take a turn?
There's two songs in the album where Howard sings on that. There's a song called F For You, which is all Howard and a little bit of me, and then there's a song called Confess To Me, which is Howard and Jesse Ware doing a duet. Confess to me, make me feel air. Confide in me, don't resent air. Cause I can't stop you from nothing.
So we should mention that you guys are brothers. How is that in just creatively working together?
I don't think it has much of an impact, really. I think maybe the only thing I could say was that growing up in the same environment has kind of shaped us in a similar way musically. As terms of the relationship goes between us, I don't think it has any effect. We're just like friends. There's not like a...
Yeah. If we were bad brothers, then it would be, obviously wouldn't work. But we're like, we're not really fighty.
Sometimes I'll speak with artists, and if there are siblings in the band, the creative tension is a good thing, actually, you know, because there is someone to say, no, that's rubbish. And
we do a lot of that. We just don't fall out about it. Yeah, you can be really honest. Yeah, definitely.
Disclosure, our guests in studio. So talk about America, what it means to you and sort of how you're approaching this world, because there are a lot of differences between the dance music scene in Europe and the UK and the States. I mean, are you trying to take special consideration for how it comes across over here?
I'm not really sure. Like, this is our fourth trip over to the States, and I mean, the first time we were playing much smaller venues, but they were still kind of rammed full of people. Like, they were all sold out, and the shows have only got bigger. So, I mean, we haven't really approached it in too different a way in terms of the live show. We've just been playing them a lot, and like, people have just turned up to every single one. So, I mean, we haven't gone wrong so far, and I think we'll just kind of carry on doing what we're doing.
Talk a little bit more about the live show for our audience who may not have seen you.
It's not DJing as a start. We use some elements of DJing in that, like, we mix one song into the next, like, live, you know, because we want to create a club atmosphere at our shows. You know, we want people to dance. It's not like a gig where you go there and, you know, watch. You just watch there with your arms folded, everyone dances, and it's like a proper, it's a rave. So yeah, there's elements of mixing tracks into tracks, but we play a lot of the main parts live of the track. So I play a lot of the drums and claps and snares and things like that, and I've got a massive rack of percussion. I've got loads of synthesizers as well, which Howard plays a lot of the bass lines and the chords. And we use bass guitar as well. Howard sings on a couple of the songs that he sings on, and occasionally we'll bring out vocalists and stuff, like we did at Coachella. We brought Sam Smith and Jesse Ware. So yeah, it's basically, it's busy. Like, if you look at it, there's a lot going on stage. And recently we've made it a lot easier for the crowd to understand what we were doing, because before, which I think is a big problem in a lot of live shows, it's just a lot of kind of twiddling knobs, and you know, the guy could be doing a lot on stage, but you wouldn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But he could also be doing nothing, and you wouldn't know. You know, he could be faking it. So we've tried to do things that are really visually obvious. You know, because if you see someone hit a drum and hear a sound, your brain and your, you know, you just connect with that instantly. If you see someone playing guitar, you know that what's happening. So that's what the live show is for. It's for taking, like, it's to try and make the audience understand how we wrote the parts of the songs, you know, and show them what we're doing.
When we first started doing the live show, the music we were making at the time was much more sort of underground based and very sort of experimental. So it was almost designed for producers. So our live show was great if you were a producer and you knew what all these knobs did like that we were twiddling with. And we've kind of, I don't know, made it a bit more accessible to people who aren't necessarily dance music producers.
Yeah. And we've also just brought on a new lighting guy who does all these amazing lights and visuals, and we can now put cameras on our stuff so people can get really close into what we're doing, and we project it behind us, and we have our, like, face logo thing that we always use, and that sings along to Latch at the end.
So is that how you manage the fact that you may not be able to have all the vocalists with you all the time?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So when we can't have them there, we have to just obviously play it off the backing track. But, you know, we still do things with it on Ableton. But yeah, we have this big face that sings along instead.
Perfect. What about sonically? Because there is a difference to the ear between live and a sample that's crisp and locked to a certain syncopation, you know, and it makes me think of the Daft Punk record. The new one is they've been touting the fact that it's all live instrumentation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually prefer the sampled, like, they had this amazing talent of choosing the greatest sample.
Me too.
And looping it. And I don't want to hear it live. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, I think that's maybe why the new record, to me, it doesn't really sound like the Daft Punk that I know.
Yeah.
I think the record, like, when you look back over their discography, it all play like a pretty important role.
Yeah.
And it's a big movement, but yeah, I agree. But that's with our live show, it's the same. It's not like listening to the record, you know. I mean, I think the main thing about a live show is that there's a chance that it can all go wrong, which is quite exciting. Yeah. And it does sometimes, but it's like, if it didn't all go wrong, then you might as well not play live. But yeah, it's just having all, you know, all that percussion all mic'd up and having all the guitars, you know, buzzing and all the synths fizzing and hissing, it just makes it more live, you know.
But yeah, what you were saying about, like, stuff not being locked in time quite as much, it's generally just really hard. we've had to practice a lot to kind of get it to a point where it sounds cohesive to the records.
Especially for me, because, like, playing, I have to play mostly, I'll have, like, you know, the kick in the track, so we've all got a reference point that's always steady, but I'm playing drums along to that, and playing drums along to a, like, a completely locked, you know, shuffled dance beat that's, like, unchangeable, just like keeping tight with that in anything is really hard. But, you know, if you could play perfectly tight, then it might as well not be live. There's not a lot of feel in there. So,
well, you know, the most important thing is people can feel it.
Yeah.
That's Guy and Howard Lawrence. They are Disclosure. Guys, thank you for coming through KCRW, and we think you're going to have a big year, and we want to wish you all the best.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for all the support. Thank you.